Well, praise the Lord. How's everybody doing? It's good to see you. Still suspended services due to the coronavirus and the governor's edict where we can't meet or assemble with more than 10 people. So we're here and we're preaching Sunday sermon. I'm here on Friday. Got a couple brothers here with me, but we're here and we're just glad to come to you. Want to encourage you that even though times are rough right now and seems like there's a lot to be afraid of, remember one thing: God cares. He loves us and He's in control of this situation. We just have to trust Him. And isn't it like us sometimes to forget who He is and how powerful He is? And I want to remind you, though, nobody cares like the Savior cares for you and me. So with that, I want us to go to the book of Mark, chapter 8, for our thoughts. Mark, chapter 8. And I'm going to read 21 verses. And no, I'm not going to scare you and say we're going to be up here for an hour, hour and a half. I won't scare you to death, but there's a lot in these 21 verses that we can glean from, especially when it comes to the Word of God. Beginning in verse 1, Mark chapter 8, "In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples unto Him, and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with Me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. And His disciples answered Him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And He asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And He commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and He took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to His disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and He blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did, and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and He sent them away. And straightway He entered into a ship with the disciples, and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with Him, seeking of Him a sign from heaven, tempting Him. And He sighed deeply in His spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And He left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take their bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And He charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? And when Jesus knew it, He said unto them, why reason you, because you have no bread? Perceive not ye, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember when I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said unto Him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. And He said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Let's pray. Father, I love You and praise You. Lord, as I stand here, I just ask You'll just give me the words to say and let me speak those things You've laid upon my heart to speak. Lord, we want to feed our people here at Long Mountain, Lord, Your blessed Word. We want to encourage them, Lord, in Your Word. And yes, Lord, these are trying times. But Lord, may we always remember that You're on Your throne of sovereignty. And we always remember that you love us like no one else and that everything's going to be okay. Father, we pray that you would just watch over our households. You protect our families from this virus. Pray you protect our church family from virus and their families. And Father, we just ask that we'll use this time as an opportunity to draw closer to you, depend more upon you, and trust you more, Lord. And also as a time to tell others that are in this crisis that have a fear and are afraid, Lord, about you and your love and your saving grace. Again, I pray that everything said and done brings honor and glory to you. And I pray that our people, as they listen to this message Sunday, they'll be encouraged in your word. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Again, I want to speak to you on the subject of do you not remember? As order of introduction, we sometimes make jest of the fact that as we get older, our ability to remember things begins to lessen. But the truth is, as we age, our memory does fade. I can recall a time when I would take a 3x5 card and I would write things down that I thought was important that I needed to remember when it concerned things from the church and all. And as I've gotten older, frankly, I stopped doing that. And a lot of it is, one, I feel that I can handle things and I know what to do. But two, the reason I don't do it any longer is I forgot where the 3x5 index cards are. So again, that's what we do as we get older. We tend to allow our memories to fade, and it just happens that way. But as we age, our memory does fade. But having said that, there's a kind of memory loss that all of us suffer from, young and old alike, and that is the ability to remember how God provides for our needs. Amen? We need to remember God meets every need all the time. One of the best biblical examples of this is found in the first part of Numbers 20. Let me read verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. It says, "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there, and there was no water for the congregation." Now, before I read to you what happened, let me remind you that this was not the first time that Israel found themselves in this predicament without water. It had actually happened on two previous occasions. First time it happened, it was not long after Israel had crossed the Red Sea and entered into the wilderness of Shur. Exodus 15:22-25. The second time it happened was when they had pitched in Rephidim over in Exodus 17:1-7. On both occasions, God miraculously provided them the water that they needed. We now come to Numbers 20, and the children of Israel find themselves for the third time in that situation. Now, you would think that they would have remembered the two previous times when God had miraculously provided water, and that this water, that this would have been no big deal. But that's not what happened. Let me read Numbers 20:3-5. "And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die here? Wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink." Question: how do you explain this kind of behavior? Apparently, they had forgotten how the Lord had provided for them on previous occasions. Now, before we come down too hard on Israel, let me say that we are no better than they, perhaps even worse. How many times have we found ourselves in difficult situations, and rather than remembering how God had provided for us in similar situations in the past and finding comfort in those memories. We just freaked out. We've all been there and done that. Amen? Not only did Israel have a memory problem, and not only do we have a memory problem, but as we look at this morning's text, we see that Jesus' own disciples actually had a memory problem. Actually, we're going to look at three things in our text. The first one I want us to see is a test. Look again at verses 10 and 11 of our text. It says, "And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmatia. And the Pharisees came and began questioning with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had returned to Galilee, which was Jewish territory, they came to him and proposed the test. In so many words, they said, 'If you are whom you say you are, then prove it by showing us a sign from heaven.'" Again, before I say anything else, let me make something very clear. The reason that the Pharisees proposed this test was not because they really wanted to believe in Jesus, but rather because they wanted to discredit him. Let's not forget that these men were the enemies of Jesus. They had one thing and only one thing in mind, and that was to prove Jesus was a fraud. This is why they asked for a sign. But someone asked, hadn't Jesus already given them a sign? Hadn't he already proven that he was the Son of God by all the miracles he performed? The answer to that question is yes. In verses 1 through 9 of our text, we read where Jesus fed 4,000 men with only 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. In Mark 7, we read where he cast out a demon out of a Gentile woman's daughter and healed a man who was both deaf and dumb. In Mark 6, we read where he fed 5,000 men with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, where he walked on the water and where he healed all manner of sick people. Yes, Jesus had given them plenty of signs, plenty of proof that he was whom he claimed to be. But the Pharisees asked for a greater sign, literally a sign from heaven. One Bible commentator put it like this, "Brushing aside his miracles as earthly signs, they asked for some great display of divine power, perhaps some cosmic display." I guess what they wanted Jesus to do was call fire down from heaven, much like Elijah on Mount Carmel. Now again, let me point out that the Pharisees had no desire or no intention to believe in Jesus, sign or no sign. All they wanted to do was discredit him and prove that he was a fraud. This is probably why Jesus refused to grant their request. It wasn't that he couldn't, but that he refused to do so. Notice again what Jesus told them in verse 12. "Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be any sign given unto this generation." Now let me point out here, for some reason Mark did not record everything that Jesus said on the occasion. Turn with me just a moment to Matthew 16, 1 through 4. Let's read Matthew's account of this same incident. It says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, 'When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed." Notice again the words, "There shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah." People are looking for a sign today. Why is all this coming to pass? Is God in control of this situation? Can I trust him? I'll trust him if he'll show me a sign. And beloved, we have to trust the Lord not by looking to signs and physical things. We just trust him for who he is. Absolutely, beloved. Always remember that. And I would say we're living in times just like the prophet Jonah. Amen? Just like the prophet Jonah. What was the sign of the prophet Jonah? Jesus answered this question in Matthew 12:40. He said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." What was he referring to? He was referring to his own bodily resurrection. Jesus put it like this in John 2:19. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." On that occasion as well, his enemies had asked for a sign. In so many words, he said, "You want a sign? I'll give you a sign. Destroy this temple, kill this body, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again." Listen, if anything proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was everything he claimed to be, it was his resurrection. Amen? Paul put it like this in Romans 1:4. He said that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Yes, he rose. Yes, he was crucified. Yes, he died for our sins. But on the third day, he triumphantly came forth out of that tomb alive. And because of his resurrection, you and I that know Christ as our personal Savior have that same assurance. We're going to rise also. Next test I want us to take a look at is a warning. It says, after Jesus was tested by the Pharisees, he issued a warning to his disciples. Look again at verses 14 and 15 of our text. It says, "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, 'Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and of the leaven of Herod.'" Now, what was Jesus talking about when he referred to the leaven of the Pharisees? According to Matthew 16:12, he was talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees. In other words, their teaching. You might ask, what was wrong with the teaching of the Pharisees? Well, there's at least three things why Jesus denounced the Pharisees. First of all, he denounced them because they were hypocrites. In other words, they were not what they professed to be. While they honored him with their lips, their hearts were far from him. Secondly, Jesus denounced them because they set aside God's commandments in order to keep their man-made traditions. Mark 7:7-9. And finally, Jesus denounced them because they placed far more importance on the outside than the inside. This is why Jesus warned his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beloved, it's got to be the inside that gets changed by the blessed Holy Spirit when a person is born again. It's not the outside. Good works, being good morally, giving to charity, doing good things doesn't get you entrance into heaven. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, "You must be born again." You know, we too need to beware false teachers. While there are many false teachers in Jesus' day, there are many more in our day today. The Apostle Peter warned us about false teachers in 2 Peter 2:1-3. It says, "But there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." False teachers can come at us from many different directions. Sometimes they come knocking at our door. This is why the Bible admonishes us in 2 John 1:10, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." How many times Jehovah Witness knocked on your door? How many times have the Mormons knocked on the door? Beloved, we're not to bid them Godspeed. You're not to let them in your house. Now, I'm not saying you can't be cordial, but the reason you'd be cordial to them and speak to them is go out the door, take your Bible with them, and try to win them to Christ. That's what we can do. But don't let them in your house. While there are a few good religious programs on television, the fact is the vast majority of religious programming features false teachers and should be avoided at all costs. How many times have you turned on the TV and saw somebody peddling this miraculous water or this prayer shawl or telling you you've got to give $1,000 in order to get thousandfold back plus that's the only way you're going to make it to heaven. You see it all the time. Sometimes false teachers come at us from our own congregations. These are the most dangerous. Paul warned us about this in Acts 20:30 when he said, "Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." That's why it's so important we've got to guard ourselves. That's why we have to know the Word of God. It's not just the preachers and the Sunday school teachers' responsibility to know the Word of God. You that are members of Lone Mountain Baptist Church, it's your responsibility, as you sit on those pews, to learn the Word of God and be able to defend the faith. Understand, how can we guard ourselves? Keep from being deceived by false teachers. As I just said, our best defense is the Word of God. If we know the truth, we are much likely less to believe a lie. This is why every believer needs to be grounded in the Word of God, at least in the fundamentals of the faith. The more grounded we are in God's Word, the less likely we're going to be led astray by false teachers. And then finally, we see a rebuke. The rebuke came from Jesus Himself and was intended not for the Pharisees, but for His own disciples. You ask, why did He rebuke them? Among other things, He rebuked them because of their poor memories. Look again at verses 16 and 18 of our text. "And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It's because we have no bread.' And when Jesus knew it, He said unto them, 'Why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do you not remember?" Apparently the disciples were once again worried by the fact that they were short on bread. Why was this such a big deal? You have to remember Jesus had just finished feeding 4,000 men with 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. And not long before that, Jesus fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. It's no wonder that Jesus asked them the question, "Do you not remember?" In other words, don't you remember how I fed the 5,000? Don't you remember how I fed the 4,000? If you remember that, then why are you now concerned because we only have 1 loaf of bread? Couldn't help chuckle a little bit. It's almost as though Jesus was talking to children. Look at those verses again, and it says, "When I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" They said unto him, 12. "And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up?" And they said, 7. And he said unto them, "How is it you do not understand?" In other words, fellas, don't you get it? How can you be so dense? Now before we come down too hard on the disciples for having poor memories, we tend to forget how God has provided for us in the past. Because when we find ourselves facing similar situations, rather than remembering how God provided in the past and finding comfort in those memories, we begin to forget and freak out. How many times have we forgotten what God has done for us? You know, everybody is so concerned about this virus, and I'm not taking it lightly. God gives us common sense. We need to do things to protect ourselves. But beloved, the point I'm trying to make is, we need to remember who God is. And this didn't catch God off guard. He's in control. He's allowed it. And all we have to do is to remember how faithful He is to us. Remember how good He is to us. Remember how He loves us. And remember that no matter what comes, we have His word that we're going to be with Him one day. So no matter how bad it gets, and we don't know, how many lives are going to be lost. My prayer is all of those people that have died from this virus knew Jesus as their personal Savior. If they knew Jesus as their Savior, they're with Him. And it was their time. But beloved, we don't need to forget God's power and forget who He is. We tend to forget how God's provided again for us in the past. We find ourselves facing similar situations and we forget by forgetting those memories of remembering all He's done. I'm convinced oftentimes God thinks to Himself, don't you guys remember? Don't you remember all those times that I provided for you in the past? If so, why are you worried now? Listen, if God can provide for us in the past, He can certainly do it again. He's the same God. God never changes. What He did for us yesterday, He can certainly do for us again today. Therefore, we shouldn't worry. So get ready to close. Let me ask you a question. Are you facing a problem or a difficult situation in your life right now that's causing you a great deal of anxiety? And I tell you, there's lots of people that have anxiety today because of this virus. If so, I want to ask you the same question that Jesus asked His disciples. Do you not remember? Don't you remember all those times in the past that you faced those situations and God was there and God came through for you? If He did it then, He can do it again. Amen? So quit worrying. Now also, as I close, I want to remind you of the love God has for you and me. You see, the reason God gave the children of Israel water when they needed it was it was His way of showing His love toward them. The reason the Lord fed those multitudes, the first time He fed the multitude of 5,000, they took up 12 baskets of fragments. These weren't just little bitty baskets. These were huge baskets. And the reason He fed them, and by the way, that first group was Jews that He fed, because He loved them. The second group that we read about here in Mark, the 4,000, where He took up 7 baskets full, were Gentiles. And the reason He fed them was because He had compassion and He loved them. I guess what I'm trying to say, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, Jesus loves everyone. That's why He went to the cross and died to provide atonement for our sins. He died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, get that, whosoever, Jew or Gentile alike, whosoever that believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So my question in close, do you remember a time the Holy Spirit convicted your heart? When I say convicted your heart, I mean convinced you that you need to receive Christ as your personal Savior. That you were a sinner. And the reason Jesus died was to provide atonement for your sin. Do you remember a time you knelt before Him and asked Him into your heart? If not, I would encourage you to do so. Listen, Jesus loves each and every one of us. And He came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Paul said in Romans, thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God's raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To my brothers and sisters that are saved, maybe you've strayed, and maybe because of this virus, the Holy Spirit has been dealing with your heart to bring you back to remembrance that, hey, I'm not living like I once did. I'm not serving the Lord like I should. I'm going to take this opportunity and I'm going to hit my knees and I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me for my backslidden condition and to welcome me back into His arms. And I'm going to start serving Him from this day forth because I know that's what He'd have me to do. And for my brothers and sisters out there that are panicked, that are afraid, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Maybe you're thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to put food on the table? I'm not working. How am I going to pay my rent on my mortgage, my truck payment, my car payment? How am I going to pay my utilities? How am I going to pay my bills? I want to remind you, remember who God is. Remember, He will take care of us. Let's pray. Father, we love You and praise You. And again, we're thankful for this time You've given us. And Father, pray Your word will be taken to heart. I thank You for Your word, Your precious promises through Your word. And I thank You for this passage. And Lord, I thank You for what it means to my heart. Father, I lift up our people here at Lone Mountain, lift them up, and I pray they'll be encouraged in Your word. And I pray, Lord, they'll just trust You and remember everything You've always done for them, Lord. May they not forget and lose their memory concerning who You are and Your power to handle any situation that we face in our lives. Lord, I pray that whoever hears this message on our website, Lord, I pray that, Lord, if they don't know You as their personal Savior, they'll come to the saving knowledge of Christ before it's too late. Lord, I pray that You'll just help us to look to You, help us to serve You, and Lord, take advantage of this time, Lord, as we're not able to meet in church capacity. Most of us are at home, Lord, that we'll take advantage, draw closer to You, and to study Your word, Lord. I pray for the sick and the afflicted in this body. I pray You touch them, restore them to their health. Again, I pray that You'd protect them from this virus. Pray the same thing for our family and loved ones. And again, there's one who knows You not. I pray they'll be led to the saving knowledge of Jesus before it's too late. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Remember, God's in control. Thank you.